We're taking a look at the week in Washington. The big news this week, of course, is the response from the president and others in power to the protests and unrest following the killing of George Floyd. After a speech this week declaring his support for peaceful protesters, President Trump walked from the White House to an historic D.C. church for a photo opportunity. Before that could happen, though, authorities used tear gas and flashbang grenades to clear demonstrators from nearby Lafayette Square. The president also held a call with state governors where he called for them to control looting and vandalism with more military forces and by threatening long prison sentences for people taking part. You're part of this conversation. You can call 800-642-1234. What do you think of President Trump's leadership and rhetoric in the last week? Do you see it creating more division and increasing tension? Call 800-642-1234. You can also email ideas@WPR.org. Our guest for this conversation is Aisha Roscoe. She's a White House reporter for NPR. Aisha, welcome back to Central Time.
Thanks for having me.
This photo op and the walk to the church were unexpected, pretty quick moving. Let's start with a listen to some of what the president said in his Rose Garden address just before leaving the White House grounds.
As we speak, I am dispatching thousands and thousands of heavily armed soldiers, military personnel, and law enforcement officers to stop the rioting, looting, vandalism, assaults, and the wanton destruction of property. We are putting everybody on warning. Our 7 o'clock curfew will be strictly enforced.
So after that, Aisha, what do we need to know about what happened?
Well, what happened next was at the very end of that speech, he said he was going to, you know, pay his respects at a very special place. And people didn't know what he was talking about, but it became clear that he was going to walk to St. John's Church, which is a historic church near the White House that has been used by, I believe, every president since Madison has gone to services there. But before he did that, law enforcement forcefully removed protesters from the area. The protesters were peaceful from all reports that you hear from people that were on the ground. This was a peaceful protest, and they were forcibly removed with flashbang, projectiles with, smoke and with some type of irritant that made people cough and choke. The White House is now saying it wasn't tear gas. Whatever it was, numerous reporters on the ground have said they were coughing and choking. And you could see it on TV. I mean, there were law enforcement mounted on horses, going at these protesters to get them out, including clergy from that church that were, passing out snacks to the protesters and speaking with the protesters. They were also forcibly removed from the grounds of the church. So President Trump could go out. After this was all cleared, President Trump went to the church, stood in front of it. He didn't make remarks or anything like that, but he held up a Bible and he took pictures. And that has been the source of a lot of controversy and a lot of pushback.
Yeah, the president mentioned a 7 o'clock curfew being enforced in D.C. When did this happen? Was it after curfew?
So this was before curfew, and that was the other issue. So D.C., the mayor of D.C. had put in a 7 p.m. curfew and where unless you were out on essential business, you were supposed to be off the streets. But this happened at like 6:30. This was before the curfew had even happened. I mean, I wasn't out there, but, I'm monitoring the speech and the, the kind of split screen of the protesters being pushed out. This was all happening before the curfew even went into place.
Yeah. And what do we know about how that walk and the photo op were arranged?
Well, there's been different reporting on how it all came together. It seems like this was the president this morning, President Trump, talking on another radio show. He said that this was something that he just decided to do. There have been some reports that maybe officials in the White House said that this would be a good show of strength for him. What President Trump said this morning is that he felt like it was symbolic. He says he didn't know about the people outside. He just told them he was going, and they just got it together for him to go. He didn't know about the people that were outside, but he felt that it was a symbolic moment and that it was important to do.
We're talking with Aisha Roscoe, who covers the White House for NPR, and we're taking your calls at 800-642-1234. We've got Ron in Madison who wants to join the conversation. Hey, Ron.
Hi. I emailed you some descriptions of fascism, and it's clear that the current regime has been handling the past 10 days in a fascist manner. A definition I heard many decades ago explained that fascism is the combination of militarism and racism. It also made the trains run on time because it was a merger of big business and big government to help themselves.
Okay, Ron, thanks for that comment. Ron also told our call screener that he was concerned that it was confusing for people who are religious to see the president walk over, hold up a Bible, but not speak, that it was a manipulation. The president has come under this criticism for this from other places, too. Right, Aisha?
Yes, absolutely. The Archbishop of Washington put out a statement yesterday that he felt, because the president also yesterday, this is after the photo op, which was earlier this week, he went to a shrine to former Pope John Paul II and to lay a wreath. And so the Archbishop of the Archbishop of Washington, D.C., said basically that this was inappropriate for a Catholic facility to host President Trump after he had done what he did at St. John's, and that it was basically a manipulation, and that the former Pope would not have supported the president using force to force people out from nearby the White House to go for a photo op. And also the bishop of this church, St. John's, has raised concerns that he did not offer any, he held up the Bible, he did not pray, he didn't offer any condolences, and that this was not appropriate action on the part of President Trump.
So Aisha, what have we heard then from Republicans in Congress? How are they responding to this?
A lot of Republicans in Congress seem to just not want to touch the issue very much. You had many Republicans, you could see when you looked at the statements, they said they hadn't really seen it. They didn't really want to comment. They were kind of acting like they do sometimes, or they were kind of behaving the way they behave sometimes when President Trump tweets something that's really inflammatory, where they say, I haven't seen the tweet. They were basically saying they hadn't seen the photo op. You did have Senator Tim Scott, who has raised concerns about President Trump's some of President Trump's statements about these protests in general. You did have him raising concerns about that. And you did have some raising some concerns about the idea of peaceful protesters being pushed out. But for the most part, you didn't really hear very loud voices from the Republican Party about this.
We now have Justin in Waukesha who's ready to talk with us. Hi, Justin.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Certainly. What are you thinking about when we have this discussion?
Well, everything I've heard from our president doesn't seem to be doing anything to de-escalate the situation, regardless of how you feel about the protests or the death of George Floyd. You would think our leadership should be making a point to do what they can to de-escalate what's going on and to minimize the amount of violence and protesting that turns into riots, whereas threats of military force and strict curfews with jail time, to me, is only going to be escalating the situation, causing more chaos. And really, I think we're going to see people trying to call his bluff.
Justin, thanks for that vantage point. Aisha, have you heard that sort of a concern that this is a lack of leadership and that his job should be to de-escalate right now?
That is absolutely a concern. And yesterday, this is after all of this happened at St. John's, where the protesters were pushed away. So this is a day after that. you had more protesters. You know, it's hard to make crowd estimates, but some would say thousands of people who more than you would had before outside the White House once again and outside beyond the curfew. So breaking the curfew that was in place for D.C., which was 7 p.m., yesterday as a show. And many of those protesters were saying that they felt compelled to come out now because of what they saw with President Trump and because of President Trump's continual threats to bring in the military and use military force to kind of put down any rioting or anything like that, and just to use military force against American citizens.
We're talking with Aisha Roscoe, who is NPR White House reporter, about how President Trump has responded to the death of George Floyd and the protests that followed. You can still join our conversation at 800-642-1234. Do you approve of the president's leadership in the last week? What do you think that President Trump should be doing and saying in a time like this? What do you expect from people in Washington here to, there to represent us? 800-642-1234 is the number to call. You can also email ideas@WPR. The conversation continues here on Central Time. This is Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Keely Boltina, and we're talking with NPR White House reporter Aisha Roscoe about the week in Washington, specifically the president's response to protests and unrest following the death of George Floyd. And we're taking your calls at 800-642-1234. Mary Kay in Kenosha has given us a call. Hi, Mary Kay.
Hi, I'd like to comment on the protest that's going on in D.C. and the police chief. Have they walked and what with the protesters? Has there been a prayer march with the reverends to honor George Floyd's memory, to de-escalate all this looting and everything?
Thanks for the question, Mary Kay. Aisha, what do we know about law enforcement and how they're interacting with protesters in D.C.?
I'm not sure exactly whether in any of the law enforcement in D.C. have marched with some of the protesters, but I know that clergy have gathered today in prayer and, you know, are assembling for peace. And I think that's what some of the clergy that were outside who ended up getting removed from the church grounds, that's part of what they were trying to do, was to talk to the because this was after the church basement. There was a fire set in the church basement. It seems like they were trying to talk to the protesters. They were trying to, you know, help them and feed them and provide water and medical assistance. And they were trying to be a bridge to the community. So we have seen clergy arranging marches or just times for people to come out and come together in prayer and in hopes for peace.
George Floyd's brother, Philonis, talked with MSNBC because President Trump called the Floyd family. And here's what Philonis had to say about that.
It was so fast. He didn't give me the opportunity to even speak. It was hard. I was trying to talk to him, but he just kept like pushing me off. Like, I don't want to hear what you're talking about. And I just told him I want justice. I said that I couldn't believe that they committed a modern day lynching in broad daylight. That's, I can't stand for that. Yeah. I can't. And it hurt me, you know? And it just, I just don't understand, man. Why we gotta go through this? Why we gotta have all this pain, man? I love my brother. I'm never gonna see him again.
Yeah, that's a really powerful statement. As a White House reporter, though, you hear George Floyd's brother and you hear President Trump, who has a distinctly different, memory or experience on that call. How do you make sense of that?
Well, I think that President Trump does often talk about this. He says he talked to the Floyd family. And, you know, says that this is not, you know, when he's talking about wanting to put down looting and things like that, that it he wants to do that because it dishonors Floyd's memory. But I was obviously hearing from the Floyd family, they're saying that when they talked to him, he didn't hear them or they didn't feel like he was listening. And this is an issue that President Trump has had when he is dealing with families who have had loss in other instances where there have been complaints that they did not feel like President Trump listened to them and really heard them. And in this case, where they continue to talk about Floyd and his memory, and President Trump does talk about wanting justice for Floyd, what President Trump still doesn't talk about as much is how do you prevent there being more George Floyds? How do you prevent the systematic things that are happening and discrimination that happens and police brutality as a whole? And that is what people have not heard from the White House.
And I'm struck by just the similarities between that dissonance on that call and what protesters are saying they're showing up for to draw attention to, that people are speaking up, people who don't have the same privileges are speaking up, and the people who are privileged just aren't hearing them.
Yeah, and I think that obviously this is a president who, when it came to the protest in the NFL, he made that a political issue, and not just a political issue. He made it into this kind of cultural calling card for him that he was against Colin Kaepernick, who was kneeling against police brutality. And President Trump, you know, made this into a very big issue and pushed against that protest. And to everyone in the NFL that was protesting that way. And so this is an issue that this White House has had repeatedly, where they're trying to get these two messages. He's saying, President Trump is trying to say that he cares about what happened to Floyd, but these larger issues and the peaceful protests that we're trying to that have happened, he did not support. So there is a real disconnect.
We're talking with Aisha Roscoe, who is a White House reporter for NPR, and we are covering the president's response to the death of George Floyd and the unrest and protests that have followed. And Jeremiah from Fond du Lac wants to join our conversation. Hi, Jeremiah.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Certainly. What's on your mind?
You know, the whole presidency has been just horrible. It's divided us more than anything before. And as the remarks or lack thereof remarks of everything that's going on right now is it's ridiculous. He's not helping. He's dividing us more. It's just I'm beside myself, this whole thing.
All right. Jeremiah, I wonder, what do you think that there's something that the president could say right now that you would be able to accept and understand?
I don't think anything he says right now is going to fix anything that he's already said. He should keep his mouth shut, honestly. He should just not say anything.
Thanks for that, Jeremiah. And Aisha, different strategies here when it comes to what the president should weigh in on and when, because it is true that different people hear this president in different lights.
That is true. And there was debate on whether it was even, you know, worthwhile for him to give that speech in the Rose Garden, whether he should do it or not do it. I think the White House chose to do it because they wanted him to be seen and not they wanted him to look like he is in charge. But the problem, of course, is that whenever president, and he did give remarks in Florida over the weekend at a NASA event, more extensive remarks on George Floyd. The problem, of course, is that when President Trump speaks from a teleprompter, and there's always a very difference than when he's tweeting. And the messages in the tweets often outweigh or out, you hear about them more than the teleprompters, than what he says on the teleprompter, because it seems more consistent. And what you hear from President Trump in his tweets is stuff like, when the looting starts, the shooting starts, and those type of statements, and talking about vicious, threatening to sick vicious dogs on protesters and ominous weapons. Those are the type of statements that stay with people. And it's hard to counteract that with a formal address when you're not going to be consistent in that message.
What about President Trump's call with state governors, including Tony Evers of Wisconsin? It was supposed to be about COVID-19 and how to respond to protests, and vandalism took up a lot of time. What should we know about that kind of that call and the pushback that some governors have?
Well, on that call, President Trump really, you know, went in talking about this idea that you need to dominate the streets, you need to be tough. He told the governors that if they didn't get tough, they would look like jerks. Those were his words, that they were, you know, that they weren't, they were weak. This idea that you need to bring the military in and crack down on protesters. And that's kind of what he brought, that same energy is what he brought to the Rose Garden, where he talked about bringing in the military. But today, the defense secretary, Mark Esper, actually said that he does not support bringing in the military at this point. He does not think it's necessary. So you see a divide even within the administration.
Sure. And then he and the governors, though, the federal government needs to work together with states to figure some of this out, because it's not going away.
And that's the other issue, is that the President Trump needs the governors to work together so that you can get solutions to this, and so that you can kind of bring to so that you these issues can be addressed. So it's probably not always the best idea to insult them and call them names. And there were governors, Governor Pritzker of Illinois did push back and say that he didn't like the president's rhetoric. And President Trump responded that he didn't like the governor's rhetoric. But that's part of the issue too. You need to be able to work with governors to get these issues addressed, and insulting them probably doesn't help.
Aisha, lots going on. Thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you.
Aisha Roscoe is a White House reporter for NPR. She joined us for a look at the week in Washington. And we've been talking about President Trump's response to protests and vandalism that followed the police killing of George Floyd in Minneapolis last week. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network.